Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Well, the title today was called The Activity of the Holy Spirit. Basically, the message speaks for itself. The Holy Spirit speaks for himself. And just when he wants to move and he impresses different people and people release different words. And the thing that I really felt from the Lord, even for this message, is that it's time for us to stop minimizing what God has done in our lives. I feel like the Lord says, some people ask, why don't I have more passion right now? Some people have this accusation against God without realizing it. Why isn't more happening? And God might say, I'm doing so much, but you're not appreciating the things I'm doing anymore. That doesn't mean God's withholding. He's still doing the same things. But it's as we thank him and highlight the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives that gets our hearts connected to what God is doing. And, of course, he spoke to me first about this, and I realized how many supernatural things happened to me in about a 2 or 3 day period, especially this past week. It was extraordinary. And I begin to realize, for myself, I'm living a supernatural life, and so are you, many of you. And literally, we have to remember that God himself is living in us. That he, what Penny prophesied there halfway through what God was doing is just, he is inside of you. And so he wants you to talk to him. You know, abiding in the vine, what Jesus said, abiding in the vine is nothing more than talking to the Holy Spirit or talking to God on a minute-by-minute basis. He will help you with so many things, but he won't do it unless we ask him to. And he's doing that because he wants us to engage that reality of recognizing that he's not only living in us, but he's all around us. He's surrounding us. And so John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. Jesus said something really extraordinary. He said, it's good that I go to my Father, because then the Holy Spirit will come. Jesus is saying it's better that the Holy Spirit comes than me being in the flesh physically with you right now. Think about that for a little bit. It's better that Jesus goes to heaven physically and he's in heaven, because he says it's better because the Holy Spirit will come. And one of the primary reasons for that is the body of Christ. Globally, Jesus is the head, of course. But when the body of Christ comes into that glorious unity that is prophesied by Ephesians 4, that Jesus is going to be global through his people. And so we're manifesting the very power of God. So think about that for a while. Jesus would say to us this morning, it's better that the Holy Spirit move through my people than me being here physically. Now, we would never think that. We would never believe that on our own initiative. But that is the reality by faith, according to Jesus Christ himself. He's the one that said that. So the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. And it's quite easy in the course of our lives and the way things go and the mundane things we do all the time, it's quite easy to simply get caught up on our own emotional atmosphere, whether it's positive or negative, whether we're at a sporting event, we're thoroughly enjoying it, or we're without realizing grooming bitterness and hopelessness in our souls. Our emotional drama often dictates what we feel about the Holy Spirit, and we're not talking to him often when our emotional drama is right front and center. We're just not talking to him. I heard a speaker one time say that we all intuitively know what to do when we have mountains in our lives or problems. We intuitively know what to do. We often don't do it, though. If you have something that you're facing that's of critical importance to you, then you go get with God. That's what you do. Shut yourself in a room. Put your phone in the other room. Put worship music on. Seek God. Take hours to do it if you can. Intuitively, we know that that's what it is to do. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't need help. And the Holy Spirit has ministry of helps throughout the body of Christ. But it's back to what Penny had prophesied. Jesus himself is living in you. And we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is going to draw you to that reality at the end of the day. And sometimes we go and we talk about our issues, and that's okay. And we can talk about our issues to someone else. But at the end of the day, sometimes that's what we do instead of going to Jesus. And we groom ourselves in that reality, and we start making a new normal for us, which is I'm going to talk and talk about my stuff instead of spending those couple of hours seeking God in the darkness of your room or in your walk-in closet or whatever, where you're just crying out to him. Remember, abiding in the vine is actually talking to the Holy Spirit minute by minute. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. How many things? Not just a few, but all things. So right there, biblically, we have a mandate that says there's one teacher that'll teach you all things. And bring to your remembrance, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all the things that I said to you. I don't know how many times that I was thinking about it in my life. We had this one of the supernatural things that happened. We had a prayer meeting with the leadership from Kansas City, which Corey was involved in that, and at 9 o'clock one morning. And Corey was there, and Ben, right? That's his, Ben. And me, we just had sitting there, we were waiting on everybody to come. And right before Bob came in, that big glass door opened up this way, all the way, real slowly. You know, sometimes you get a gust of wind and it comes a couple feet or whatever. But Ben said, look at that. And I saw it out of the corner of my eye, that just the big glass door opened right up. And we were just kind of like, you know, in my critical thinking mind, I was trying to figure out how that happened scientifically. But if it was a gust of wind, it would have went like this. It just opened real slowly all the way open. And then I can't tell you, when we started having our prayer meeting, it was one of those explosions, and all of a sudden everything just went and moved, and God moved, and we had this powerful time. And after it was done, Corey said, what was that? And it was just like, you know, God had walked in. And it's just like understanding this activity of God, is like he brings to remembrance those things. During that prayer meeting, we were praying about stuff. We're praying about wisdom. We're praying for each other. And suddenly, I had just a memory of Corey preaching at the Grand Horizon Center. And he was preaching. He said he had come in that morning and had a prophetic, just a grievance with some of the men in our congregation. And Corey was saying, God was saying, where are you, Adam? And he was highlighting how it was in the garden for God. His friend had sinned. And he's like, where are you at? God knows exactly where we're at. But he's like, I want the fellowship with you again. And are you going to stand up? And the Holy Spirit brought to back to my memory real strong. I remember pictures and everything like that. That's the Holy Spirit. And so I spoke that out. And we prayed around it for a few minutes. And the idea was that the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance all the things that he said to you. Now, so often in our lives, God does something wonderful for us, or the Holy Spirit does, and we kind of move on. And then we want something bigger and better. We want our five senses to be tickled. We want to have this passionate response. And God is saying, look, I want to walk with you by faith. That means that during the mundane times of your life, by the way, Daniel, one of the greatest men that ever lived, the majority of his life, 98% of his life, was mundane. We see in the Bible six huge events that he went through, but for the rest of that time, and then at the end of his life, he started getting those visions. But he got those visions for, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and then he wrote them down, and then he went on with life. But the majority of his life was serving a heathen king, Nebuchadnezzar, and the ones after that. Think about that for a minute. And we look at him as a great man, and he only had these six dramatic, and often his dramatic moments were the threat of his death. You see what I'm saying? We look at Bible stories like that, and we go, I want this dramatic response to my Christianity. And God's saying, hey, I want you to notice the supernatural by listening to my voice on a daily basis and thank me for what I'm doing in your life. Some of the greatest peace that we can find ourselves in is when we recognize God has said something and we follow through with it. My wife often shows this really powerfully to me. One time we had somebody, another part of the United States, she felt like she was supposed to send something to them by mail, a letter, and she felt like she had to get it in at this time. And so she literally, it was a Friday, she literally got everything together, got it in the envelope, and then she mailed it and just got it into the post office just before it closed, kind of a thing. And then on a Saturday or something later on, she said, oh, no, I think I forgot a stamp. And you know the post office, they're pretty diligent. If you don't pay them, they're not going to do services, you know. So she just kind of prayed. And the letter got to the destination. And the person, you know, it got right on time for them. And the person got it. And Steph just happened to ask her, was there a stamp on that letter? And she said, no, there's no stamp. How did that happen? Just little supernatural things like that, where God does miracles that we can't think of. There's several more of that. And we have to recognize when the Holy Spirit's talking to us. Romans 8:26, on the negative part of the things that we go through in life. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And so the Holy Spirit is your helper. He's your comforter. He's everything to you, and he's going to highlight Jesus inside of you. And so it's our reality is listening for his voice. The worship team, if they're around, they can just come right on back up. I'm about done already, that's a miracle, right? I just want to remind you of this one thing. This is a big main point. Jesus' last public message, and this was to Israel, but he defined his kingdom. This is a prophetic proclamation. He defined the kingdom as a call to his wedding. He called Israel to the first commandment in contest to calling them to a wedding feast. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who is his father, who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And then later on in that passage, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. The father has literally arranged a marriage for his son. His eternal purposes for creation includes providing a family for himself and an eternal companion for his son, an equally yoked bride, and he wants relationship with his people. He's raising up a prepared bride for his worthy son. Literally, if you want to ask God what's on God's heart, that is it. That is God, the Father's vision statement for the body of Christ. Yes. And when you begin to recognize that, it's an invitation. That means a lot of people don't take it. There's many people called, but there's often few that are chosen in this context. I'm not talking about getting to heaven. I'm talking about walking in the greater reality of the Father's kingdom by walking in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Yes. God first exhorted Israel through Moses to love him with all their heart in Deuteronomy 6:5. And then later Moses prophesied Israel would love God with all their heart in the end times. Jesus' statement was both an exhortation and a prophecy that gives insight into God's zeal for our destiny. So when we were doing that prophetic stuff, I felt such an intensity of the Holy Spirit. You know what it made me feel like to do, which I know was my flesh? It made me feel like just, you know, jumping over chairs and laying my hands on people and just beginning to, you know, release God's destiny into you. But the Holy Spirit says, you can't do that. I'm restrained by people's wills. Come on. We meditated on a verse this week during the internship. We had this two-hour block for internship, and we meditated in Hebrews 10, and one of it says that our evil conscience would be sprinkled out of our hearts. And I meditated on that, because that's about changing the human heart. And I was like, what does this mean? And why is it a sprinkle? That's the question I had. Why is it a sprinkle? Why isn't it like a rushing flood or something, God? And I didn't get anything for 40 minutes, and all of a sudden God spoke to me. He said, the reason it's a sprinkle is because I have limited myself to your decision making.
Wow. Wow.
There's a sprinkle. Or it's sprinkled, God's influence. And the minute we let God touch our hearts or we position ourselves rightly before Him, then we have transformation in our soul. I mean, it's back to the parable of the sower. And there's words sown all over the place. But the enemy's snatching it, the world's choking it out, and so on and so forth. So Hosea 2:16, God says, in that day you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. And that's a huge reality. What God is actually saying is we're moving beyond the idea of being servants. And we're going to become friends of the bridegroom. And this is reality of what it means to be the bride of Christ. This is not a male or female reality. It's a position in God reality. Just like women can be called sons of God. It's a manifestation of power reality. It's positions in God. And that's what He's calling us to. So as we live our lives, the reality is not exactly, you know, where you're going, what you're going to be doing. All of those are important to God. The reality is what He is developing in your heart. And when you are doing ministry, you're ministering to His bride. And you're ministering to His dream. And His dream is that we would all come into a mature, glorious, intimate relationship with Him. So all the prophetic words and all the movement today, all the things was to release people to choose Jesus. Isn't that awesome? So Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You for what You're doing. We thank You for what You did in our midst. Lord, I ask You even now just for a refreshing time, a joyful time right now, of You reminding us all the things that You've done for us. This whole congregation, would You just even take the Holy Spirit the next few minutes, everything that You've done for us in the Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to let the worship team take us out, and for a few minutes we're going to worship. Let God remind you of what He's done for you, and then God bless you. We'll see you Tuesday. He reigns. We're just going to release you to leave if you need to. And we might have to push you out today, maybe. Just remember what they're singing, that he reigns in your life.